Welcome to A Handful of Hope, where we bring you heart-to-heart conversations with heart-centered people. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of A Handful of Hope. I am so happy and grateful to have Dan here with us today. And after graduating from the University of Dayton in 2002, Dan started his career after a cross-country trip seeing family and friends. Being in the mortgage business since 2002, Dan's worked for both banks and independent lending companies. Focusing on clients' goals led to his motto of know thy options. Reviewing their long-term and short-term goals is how Dan advises on what options are best for a client. Improving oneself and mastering skills can certainly be a trying issue. Dan joined Toastmasters and spoke at speech competitions. Working in the mortgage industry has allowed Dan and his wife, Laura, to raise two wonderful children. Dan, thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to pick your brain about this.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Jesse.
Yeah, so let's jump right in because I see the news bulletins and things coming around, and obviously one of the things on everybody's mind is rent and mortgage, and you keep hearing about the Fed putting interest rates at super low and like near zero. Does that mean mortgage rates are at zero too, or how does that impact mortgages right now?
Sure. It's a lot of misinformation. So the media is really good about saying these things. Unfortunately, they don't get any context on how it really impacts things. So the Feds have control what they call the Fed funds rate. Now, what is that? That's actually the rate at which banks borrow money from the federal governments. That is on short-term rates. Mortgages are based on long-term rates. So is there an effect? Yes, but it's not direct. It's a trickle-down effect. So it's not a direct correlation of the Feds lowering the rates versus mortgages. It's just basically an overall sort of theme of lowering rates. Okay, so it's good when they say 0% rates, that does not mean that rates went down by 1% or to 0%. What is directly affected is things like credit cards. If you have a HELOC or equity line of credit, that was directly affected, the prime rate. So these things are directly affected, but not mortgage rates.
With a lot of people, I was reading an article from the LA Times, and they were talking about the massive amount of people who missed mortgage payments and rent payments in the previous month. And there's all this talk about how do we adjust, assuming that and worse is going to happen this month and maybe into May too. What is it that people who have mortgages or need to know right now about mortgages that they may not realize they need to know?
Okay, excellent. So I shot a video on this before, but just what they're talking about right now is what the government passes called a CARE Act. Now, the CARE Act in there stipulates that basically if you can attest, that basically you just basically call those person you make your payments to and just say, yes, I've been negatively affected by the COVID-19, and they will basically withhold, you can basically do a forbearance on your mortgage payment. And it depends right now, it's up to, for 3 months to 6 months and maybe up to a year. Now, what is forbearance? Because people think they know, but I want to make sure we realize the pros and the cons on this, because it's very important, could affect you long term. Now, what are the pros? The pros are you don't make your payments, so you don't write that check every month. Now, that's nice from a cash flow point of view. Now, forbearance is not forgiveness. You still have to make that money due at some point. How it's going to be done is going to vary by each servicer. And so that means they might say, hey, give me a check at the end of this, which is likely not the way they're going to do it. And they might do is say, hey, we're going to add $200 to your payment until we're basically correct. So it's not really going to financially overall benefit you. And actually it might hurt you a little bit. You could actually accumulate a little more interest on the payments you haven't made. So that is one aspect, but who's it designed for? People who have zero income, people who are not getting any sort of real income to make that payment. That's what it's really designed for. The problem is governments in their, I don't know if well-meaning or haste, basically didn't really put any qualifications in there, I assume, to make it faster for people. Now, the problem with that is people who can make payments are still taking advantage of this, which is not the intent of it. So, once again, it's one of those well-meaning things, but people can abuse the system because they see a opening, but it's not going to benefit you in that sense. Now, let's look at the negative impact. So negative impact is, let's say that you do forbearance, and let's say you can't make the payments, but you decide, you know what, I'm going to take advantage of the situation because I want the money in my pocket, which I understand. The the problem is there's another thing going on. Let's say the rates continue to get low, and the rates are getting lower as things sort of stabilize in the market. You can no longer really refinance right now, because the way lenders look at this is, even with a forbearance with the CARE Act, your rate is not reported to the credit bureau. Lenders like myself and basically the investors, you're basically asking them to basically redo a loan that year for you to get a lower rate in payment, but you're not currently making payments on the current loan. And they will always find out. So just to get that right off the bat. Mm-hmm. We will know the payments are not being made. So what it is, an additional what we call a risk layer on approving a mortgage. And right now, lenders can be a little more particular right now, given this situation, which we'll get into a little later on. So the way this sort of works is, to explain the forbearance again, it's good if you have no income, all right? But it's going to hurt you if you want to look at a refinance or take advantage of the financial situation long term. So there's something to think about. An example of this is in 2008, when people were having situations when their loan modifications were happening. Loan mods for us were viewed as short sales or a credit event. And that is an item that we basically would say, okay, well, we can't do anything for that person for the next 4 to 5 years. So I don't know if we'll see that. I doubt it, but it's not up to me at this point. I'm just saying what historically has intended consequences for what is trying to help you. So just be aware, if you can make your payments, be patient. And if you can take advantage of the refinance market, get in line, because a lot of lenders have some different circumstances right now to get deals done. So we'll touch on that a little bit later as well. So that's the difference between basically forbearance. A pro is no payments. Cons are basically it will stop you from making, it'll basically be looked at as a credit risk issue later on if you want to refinance.
Okay. So forbearance is not forgiveness. And then if people can make payments, even if it's tough right now, you would recommend they do make it so they can take potentially advantage of refinances down the road.
Yeah. If it's really, really tough and you really need that forbearance, I mean, it's what that was there for, but it's, if you can't make the payments, you know, continue to do so, because you could probably get out of this with a lower rate payment later on if you're just thinking about longer term.
So, looking at longer term, Dan, like what are we defining longer term as now? Because I think traditionally, like, longer term is we're looking at 10, 20, 30 years, right? But I imagine this is shaking things up so much. Does it get redefined in a situation like this where we're trying to make it out of, because then I read articles about, you know, potential recession and how it's going to affect these different markets and all those types of things. And it seems like the window of time that we're looking at about where the impact is going to be and how immediate it is it keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller, where we're looking at, well, how is this going to affect in 2022, 2021? And now it's, you know, these next 6 months are really going to be telling. What's kind of your feeling on that?
Longer term, it depends on, we'll go back to almost my motto, actually, know thy options and set your goals. Some people's long-term goals go out just a few years. So, looking at it from that point of view, if this short term, I would say is basically just a few months.
Okay.
Longer term is anything I would say beyond a year plus, just for right now at least. I usually ask clients setting goals before we do anything, just so I know what is going to work for them. Let's plan this out a bit. But as far as goals go, it depends on, like I said, time frames are. I think we're going to see a long-term effect from where we're at right now, just given, you know, entertainment and way things, business is being done. But for us at this point, I think longer term is anything beyond a year or two.
Okay.
So if you can at least focus on that, and when in doubt, I don't know all the answers, but I know I don't know enough. And I always ask professionals for inputs and getting advice from people such as yourself, financial advisors, mortgage people, real estate agents. It never hurts to ask and at least sit down and get some answers, because you should know what at least you're getting into, maybe the pros and cons, and then decide for yourself what's best for you and your goals.
For people who are reaching out for someone like yourself, Dan, and they're trying to figure out and sort their way through the mortgage, mm-hmm. What's the most important question they should be asking you?
More important question is, can I benefit from this? That's something to at least take a look at it. I know people are, you have family to take care of. You have things to look out for, and it's at least good to know what you can and can't do. some clients I have are looking at it to say, rates are lower, I want to refinance, or I want to do this, or they want to take cash out now and basically consolidate debts. So it varies on what options there are, but I think it's at least looking at how can I take advantage of this situation to benefit where I can, to basically secure myself and put myself in a better position. Because getting the information, again, it's about the goal setting, what is best for you. But that would suggest that. And taking advantage of things can be simple as looking at the options of refinancing. Doesn't mean you should, just saying it's worth, I always say it's worth looking at. You only know, only a few pieces of information is needed to see if it makes sense for you to do something.
Okay. For people who might be first time or considering to be first time home buyers getting their first mortgage, is this a good time for them to even entertain that notion of it? And then on that same kind of line of thought as the first thread, given the circumstances, given the climate right now, what is it that they should be looking for or anticipating in that experience?
It's a great question, actually. For first-time home buyers, I've got sort of two mixed items. I have a couple clients right now, and we got news not too long ago that some of the programs for first-time home buyers with down payment assistance are being suspended, not canceled or anything like that. It's just higher-risk loans are being scrutinized a bit more, and some lenders are saying, you know what, not right now. So they're suspending some of those programs for the time being. So first-time home buyers might have a rough time if they need the down payment assistance. On the other hand, I have other clients that look at it and say, well, rates are low, and sellers might be more wanting to make a deal with me. So they don't necessarily need a like 20% down. They just want enough down, like a more like a standardized kind of loan. Those, I would think, have a great opportunity here if they're in a position to do that. You can take advantage of a few different things in the marketplace. One is the low rates, and one's sellers might be a little more panicky than normal. So with panic becomes opportunity. And anything like this, there's always a silver lining. So always try to keep optimistic about some benefits that can, you know, be good for you. So when people are maybe want to get out of the situation completely and say, well, I'll toss him an extra $5,000 for closing costs to make this deal work. So it's, again, good to know the options, but people who need down payment assistance right now, I just say be patient, build that money up if you can, and always keep in touch with your real estate team, which is your real estate agent and your lender. Just communicate what your goals are, and if something looks good, you can jump on it and get ready to pounce. But if you're in a situation where you don't need down payment assistance, you have that 3% down, it's a good time, I think. Okay. At least look at the options.
Dan, something I noticed, and I appreciate this about you, is I heard you say opportunities, and I've heard you say it several times, and I think that's such a wonderful word to use because there's so much fear getting pumped out into the world right now.
Yeah.
As someone who's been in this industry for nearly 20 years now, who's gone through the big thing, and what they call it, the housing bubble popping in 08,
yeah.
Do you feel there are more opportunities out there right now than people are aware of?
Yeah, I think so. Opportunities that can be done in different ways. Again, it's part when you're playing out your situation. What I'd recommend for people to do action-wise, again, I know I've nailed it down to multiple times, but talking to your mortgage, your real estate team, but getting a position to do something. I always look at it this way. If you want to do something, at the worst, you fill an application out, you get some documentation in, you've wasted a bit of your time, that's it. At best, you can do something, either buy a home or you can refinance your property. Opportunities are really, each area is its own little specialty thing. So if you're in Santa Barbara and you want to buy a property there, it might be different from taking opportunity in, say, LA. So again, it goes back to your goal, but opportunities are always around, and just knowing where they are depends on what you're comfortable with and who your professionals are.
Have you seen any noticeable trends in buying behavior right now over the last 30 days with people looking at, and I'll give you some context for this. One of my curiosities with this is going to be, is do we have, once this starts to settle, do we start to have exoduses from major metropolitan areas, you know, big cities, people who they feel more vulnerable in large crowds because of the germs, because of all that, are they looking to go to smaller locations, more spread out, maybe a little bit bigger piece of property? Have you noticed any sort of discernible trends or shifts in people's behaviors in the last 30 days?
Not so much yet as far as the moving goes. I guess we'll probably need, I think, a quarter of information on home buying, sales, and things to get a better feel for that. As far as behavior, yes, I've seen some. About a good portion of the buyers are just feeling uncomfortable about things to do right now. That with all the uncertainty, they may have a question about their job possibly. And if there's a question about the job, they probably may not be able to get a loan in the first place because they're being a little more scrutinized, like I said, on employment and risk factors. So I've seen people be a little more hesitant as of late. And as appealing as low rates can be and what their scenario is, they got, why enter something new when it's sort of unknown at this point? And it's more of a fear factor psychologically than anything else, I think.
And again, people who are feeling that, first thing they should do is pick up the phone, call somebody, and just have that conversation and get it out and get clarity on what they're uncertain about.
Right. I mean, the thing is the unknown factors we cite. That's the worst thing about this. There's so many unknowns and how it's affecting. That same thing with happens in the market. If it's unknown, people like stability, whether it's bad or good, at least they can sort of plan for it if they know what's coming up. And knowing what you can and can't do and what the outlook's going to be is going to help you make that plan during this, take the unknown factors as much as off the table as much as you can. And that just takes a couple of phone conversations, maybe more than that, but at least you have a better feel for what your options are and what you can do.
Dan, three questions just to close up really quick. People are at home, sheltering in place, lockdown, whatever the terminology is, wherever they are. If you could recommend one podcast people listen to right now, what would you recommend?
I listen to Tim Pool, actually. He's a YouTuber and he has a few different channels and he gives basically a recap podcast news-wise that I like to listen to. He's fair on his assessments and gives you basically a breakdown. Lately, a little doom and gloom, but he's always got a good head on his shoulders and gives a fair assessment. So I like that.
Yeah. A book you'd recommend people listen to or book you'd recommend people read or listen to, I guess.
Oof. Rich Dad, Poor Dad's always a good one.
It's a classic.
It's a classic. It's a classic one. There are a few videos I'd probably recommend. I do a lot of YouTube to get news and information. There are a lot of good ones for that.
And movie or documentary you'd recommend people watch?
There was the one on, I believe it was Bourbon on Hulu, actually, was the history of bourbon, which I thought was interesting. I like some documentaries. Show-wise, I usually watch it, like Stargate SG-1 with my wife. We're rewatching it, but it's in the same vein of Star Trek Next Generation. That's something that we enjoy. It's something to take our mind off things to a little escapism. And it's just an entertaining, fun show.
Dan, this is awesome. Everyone, I encourage you to rewatch and rewatch. If you are, whether you are a current homeowner or looking to become a first-time homeowner, I think Dan really did a wonderful job of breaking down some of the terminology we have out there. Coming away and understanding forbearance is not forgiveness. It's there's so much misinformation in the media, and there's so much, you scroll through, whether you're Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, you scroll through for 5 seconds and you get five different headlines that say five different things. And I think one of the things that he hit home over and over again is when in doubt, don't go to the internet, call the people who are the professionals and really get clarity. And this might be a really good time now that if you don't have a relationship with somebody who's in that field, start to form and develop that relationship so that you can go to the sources rather than the sensationalism. Also, I love that he was talking about the opportunities. In a time of fear and uncertainty, we may forget that there's always opportunities out there. You know, some of the greatest things that were ever developed, created, came from times of uncertainty, whether that's a business or it might even be a relationship. You look at the relationships in your own life, and many of them you may have been once uncertain about, and they might be some of the most meaningful. That's to say that opportunities always are abound in uncertainty, but if we get so drowned in the uncertainty, we will never see the opportunities around us. So do what you need to do to get this and this aligned and straight, especially when it comes to these big financial things like a mortgage, whether you're going to be a first-time homeowner or you currently have a mortgage or multiple mortgages, and look to the people who can help guide you through it. give yourself the gift of easing that out of you. There's no need to be stressed and suffering more than already happened. Talk to the people who are going to be able to help lead you through this, and it will serve you tremendously well and help you find those opportunities in a time of uncertainty. Dan, this is absolutely incredible, man. Thank you so much for sharing your time, your expertise with us. We're extremely grateful for you.
Thank you so much, Jesse. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. We'll see everybody next time on another edition of A Handful of Hope. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you're finding value in these conversations, please rate and review on Apple, Google, Stitcher, or wherever your favorite place is to listen to.